Welcome to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
If you're listening and tuning in, you're about to hear part four of the story of Maude Kells. Joining me in studio, because Robin is unable to, so we have our new substitute co-host. So whenever you don't hear me or you can't hear Robin, we're going to hopefully, Lord willing, have Mary Perro in studio, and we just love her. We both love her. And that's why we asked her, would you step in? Would you be willing? Because we don't want to stop telling these wonderful stories. And Mary said yes. So Mary is a writer, so of course she loves this. Mm-hmm. And Mary's also a worship leader, so of course she loves Jesus. And she's also a dynamic speaker, so she loves to tell stories. So it just makes you the perfect co-host. So thank you so much, Mary. Do you want to just summarize really quickly where we're at?
Sure. We are talking about the unstoppable, fearless,
good word. Yes.
Maude Kells. She has overcome so many things in her life. And you really see that we've been seeing over these episodes this transformation of someone who can, you know, take a gun that's in her face and just push that right away.
That's right.
She's from Northern Ireland. She went to nursing school. She felt the call to go to Africa. She went to what was formerly known as Congo, then Zaire, and now I think even has a different name. She's dealt with all of the uproar and unrest in the country, from governments, you know, falling and the people struggling. She's been back and forth and in and out. And I think she's back in Zaire.
She is. At this point right now, where we're at, she's in Melita again, which is the little village that she's serving in, where she built the hospital, where she trained the people. And again, she's had to leave Melita and her beloved people quite a few times, evacuated by the British, evacuated even by the WEC, which is the World Evangelical Crusade missionary organization that she belongs to.
Yes, because, and she's living in really remote conditions.
So
that
remote.
Have become even more remote.
Even more remote.
Because
yes.
Of the, you know, the government falling and people stealing things and et cetera.
And violent soldiers.
Yes.
And
yes.
Not only that, but what you have is you have this unrest because you'll have these violent soldiers that come in, and then you'll have the rebels that come in, and you're no better off with the rebels than you are with the soldiers, and you're no better off with the soldiers than you are with the rebels.
And probably depending on the time, I mean, they don't have, she's got a talk radio that she's using to communicate with other missionaries.
Shortwave radio.
But you may not even know who's in charge right now. Who can I trust? No. Can I trust anyone?
Yes. And because she's remote, she doesn't know always what's going on in the rest of the country. Of course, she did have this. She loved to listen to BBC radio, and she could get that every once in a while. And she loved to listen to it. So Maude went to a conference in August of that year. And while she was gone from Melita, Zaire again disintegrated into a full-scale violence and chaos. And it was getting so dangerous that they were ordered to get to Nabongo Airport and evacuate. When they were at the Nabongo Airport, now remember, these are the missionaries. This is the medical team that is taking care of them. The people were rolling barrels out to the tarmac to try to keep the planes from landing and taking off. And they were trying to attack the missionaries. And so the missionaries were laying these white sheets on the ground so the planes would know where to land. And the people kept coming. These are the rebels. They kept coming and taking the sheets away. And it looked like the missionaries were all going to lose their lives. When one of the men, and he had his son with him, he said, "Maude, your jacket's white. Take it off. Lay it on the ground." So she lays it on the ground. The plane sees it. The plane lands. The people all jump in to the plane, and they're flying off. It's just so the Lord. They're all delivered. Every child, every person safe. They're able to fly out. And she's like, "Oh, well, that only cost me one white jacket," when the man walks up to her and hands it back to her and says, "I grabbed it because you're going to want to tell people how God used this white jacket to save." And so back in Ireland, Maude took computer classes and spoke at various meetings. Don't you love this? She's in her 50s. She's taking computer classes. And every day she wanted to learn how her beloved friends in Melita were faring. She learned that there was widespread looting and many believers were losing their faith, while others were standing firm. In 1999, she's 60 years old, Maud was invited to work with Samaritan's Purse in the Sudan because she can't get back to the Zaire, the Congo. Initially, she was committed for 6 weeks. She wanted to stay longer, but they're like, well, we'll see how you do at 60. On her second day, she was visiting the makeshift hospitals, and bombs began to fall from planes overhead, barely missing the compound. After the bombing stopped, they saw huge craters where five had fallen, yet none of the buildings had been touched. Given the opportunity to return to safety, Maud refused. She then oversaw the health center, set up pharmacy controls, which we know she can do, supervised the equipping center, and she was also able to care for the sick as well as evangelize.
I'm starting to think there's nothing Maud can't do.
No, I know. So when she was tasked with flying into the bush, she was so concerned about getting all the right medical equipment in that she forgot to check to see if she had her own suitcase. And there in the Sudanese bush, she had no toothbrush, no clothes, no Bible, no money because she forgot her suitcase. She said it reminded her of Jesus commissioning his disciples, take nothing for your journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt.
And it's kind of a fun callback to earlier in the story when her luggage hadn't come
exactly
for like 6 months. And when it did come, it was covered in jam. There
exactly
were probably things in there she didn't need anyways.
Yeah. She was able to survive for 2 weeks.
She was fine.
Yep. While there, she met and treated several of the child soldiers who had been inducted into the army. She returned to Ireland and was praying that she could return to the Congo. But militia groups were still active. She learned that since the fighting broke out in 1998, in the northern eastern Congo, over 2 million people had been killed. Not all the deaths were from the war. Some were from the malnutrition and lack of medical supplies. In October, the WEC agreed to let Maud go back for 6 months. And at this point, they made an agreement with her. As long as you always have a satellite phone with you, we will let you go back for 6 months. So you're going to be 6 months in the Congo, 6 months in Ireland, 6 months in the Congo, 6 months in Ireland. You're in your 60s. So the next week, she set about returning the sanitary conditions when she got back to Melita, to the hospital. On Christmas, there was a huge celebration that lasted for hours, and more than 120 people received Jesus.
Wow.
After Christmas, fear and arrest mounted as they learned news of new groups of rebels nearby, and they were told to hide. But Maud felt the Lord assure her of his protection. The soldiers passed by her house, and the hospital and attacked the marketplace instead. And in the next town, too, that hospital was attacked. She served for 6 months. She was back in Ireland, and she was planning to get back to Melita when a volcano in Africa erupted and stopped all flights to Melita. So she had gone back, but she was stuck in Nababongo. So she started ministering there, anywhere she could.
Mm.
In 2003, she was still serving in Nababongo, and she kept hearing of this devastation, Melita. She prayed, Lord, please, please let me go back. In 2004, the country quieted down long enough for Maud to return to Melita. And once there, she saw that her house was ruined. Her furniture was all broken. Rats had taken over the premises. And she found out that government soldiers again had been based in her house with the Mai Mai rebels occupying the operating rooms of the hospital. So you've got these two warring groups, soldiers in her house and the rebels in the hospital. So you can imagine, and this is on one compound, the fighting. Little by little, the people of Melita came out of the forest where they had been hiding. They had lost everything and they were hungry. However, their greatest request was not for food or even medical help. It was for Bibles.
Wow.
Reading glasses. And then medicine. Slowly, the people began to rebuild their mud huts and plant their gardens. Merlin, that was the medical company that was from England that she was able to work with before, was able to re-equip the hospital with many of the items that had been destroyed or stolen. And gradually, Maud began to get everything up and running again. She even organized a group to clear the airstrip. Maud's six-month again, was up way too soon. She cycled, because remember, she still doesn't have a car, and she's in her 60s. She bicycled to the airport and was grateful. She was accompanied as she bicycled by the believers in Melita. And she promised, I'll be back in 6 months. 6 months again, according to her word, she was unable to land in Melita. Instead, her pilot dropped her off in Punia, which is a nearby village. She was determined she was going to get to Melita. She had promised them. She had given her word. But she had no idea how she could get her 13 boxes of medicines, 3 solar panels, car batteries, and other supplies to Melita. But right then, she saw a pickup vehicle from Merlin arrive to pick up a passenger who had been on the same plane with her in Punia. And she was able to talk them into driving her and all her medical equipment to Melita. In 2004, Melita again joined Dr. Helen Rosevere and others at a ceremony in Nubobongo to open a surgical unit named after Dr. Helen Rosevere, Mama Luca, because that's what she was called, Mama Luca, because Luke was the beloved physician in the Bible. So they named her Mama Luca. In 2005, Maud used her time in Melita to teach the Bible school, minister, do daily ward rounds and consultations, as well as supervise a doctor's house, a medical ward, and clear the runway once again, the airstrip. All too soon, it was time to return to Ireland, and she arrived in time to celebrate Dr. Helen Rosevere's, I think it was her 80th birthday. Back in Melita, remember, 6 months on, 6 months off.
She's not going to stop.
Yep. Maud prioritized the building of a pediatric ward for the hospital. At the same time, she had to oversee the repair of a road that led to Melita. In 2010, the pediatric ward was completed. And, you know, in the interim, she's 6 months, 6 months, 6 months. Was completed. Now Maud set out to build a primary school and a new church, which was completed in 2013. Returning to Ireland, as agreed upon, Maud realized that her house had been broken into. Miraculously, though, the thieves had ransacked her house, but they had not taken her computer. However, they had stolen her wallet, and without her wallet and passport, she would not be able to return to Melita. A local paper picked up her story, and people began to give her more money for a return than the thieves had taken. And also, the government opened up their doors to make sure she got a new passport complete with a visa. Her old one didn't have a visa. So she was really like, thank you, Lord. Returning again to Melita, Maud's ministry included hiding and helping families escape angry crowds. These were government officials, because when they were out of favor, she had to hide them until, you know, the government changed or they were in favor. She also began to see an influx of soldiers who needed medical care. One day before Christmas, Maud was not feeling well. She assumed she had an eye infection, only to learn that she had shingles.
Oh,
miraculously,
no.
A Congolese nurse had stopped by to see her. He told her that he had the right medicine for her, and he did. He returned the next day with something called like acyclovir, and he had it because he had just gone to a medical conference where they gave it out for free, and he thought, where am I ever going to use this? And yet he had kept it, and that was exactly the medicine she needed.
Divine providence.
You know, exactly. You see that promise that the Lord said her said to her early on, do not fear.
Do not fear.
I will be with you. I'll hold you by the right hand. You see how that comes in over and over again. And here it's going to come into play. In 2015, Maud was making arrangements to go back to Ireland. But first, she had much work to do. She was 76. It was just January. And she wanted to get the nursery school built before she left. She had served the Lord in the Congo for over 50 years by this time. That night, she heard a man's voice calling her urgently. She was so tired, but he said that his wife was in dire straits and needed her medical attention. No one else could handle the situation. Maud roused herself from sleep and made her way to the hospital, only to find out that there was no medical emergency. She returned to her house with her bodyguard. As she approached her house, two masked men jumped out wearing camouflage and pointing guns covered in leaves.
What?
One of the men grabbed her bodyguard and ran off. The other forced her into the house demanding cash. Ma turned to the man and said, "You won't scare me and you won't get the better of me." Then at 76, she reached out to grab the gun and the man shot her. And the bullet pierced through her chest.
Oh, my goodness.
She screamed and her attacker ran off, but she felt the blood pouring from her and she knew she needed to stave off the blood's flow. So what she did is she propped herself against the wall of her house and pressed as hard as she could against the wall just to keep the blood from...
pressure point. But I can't imagine
exactly
how painful that would have been. She's got a bullet in her.
Mm-hmm. And even though... You know, she had been through this traumatic situation. She had no fear, but a very real consciousness of the Lord's presence and peace. On the scripture from Psalm 121:8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. And again, Psalm 121, verse 2, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. They kept running through her mind. That's all she could think about. Maud said a short prayer, I am ready to go, Lord, but there are a few things I'd like to finish on earth before I do.
Of course.
The next thing Maud remembered was familiar faces hovering over her and hands cleaning her up. You're all right, Mademoiselle. We've stopped the bleeding and dressed the wound. You're on the couch of your house, and I'm just putting up this drip for you. The man speaking had been trained by Maud herself.
Oh, my.
And how to do intravenous drip.
Wow.
A plane was arranged for Maud, and she was flown to Nebobongo. She reached the hospital there 12 hours after the shooting. Meanwhile, an all-out manhunt was going on for the masked men. Maud was discharged after 6 days and recuperated at the house of the pilot who had flown her there. MAF wives took great care of Maud and insisted, however, Maud insisted on being weaned off the pain meds. She said, I don't like the fuzziness on my brain. I want to be alert, so I don't need the pain medicine,
even though
she was still in pain.
Yeah, I can imagine.
The masked men eventually were caught. In the meantime, Maud was flown to Isiro to speak to the church there. You know, she's only like 2 weeks out of
it. Well, she had a few more things she wanted to get done.
And they said, you know, before you leave, we want you to speak. So she returned to Ireland. And before that, she insisted on being flown back to Melita to collect some of her things. And a crowd was waiting for her there. She stayed only for 2 hours. And returning to Nebobongo before she flew back to Ireland, she turned all her work over, everything she had done in Melita, to a Dr. Francois.
Hmm.
Back in Ireland, Maud found out that she had 2 fractured ribs and 2 damaged vertebrae.
This is from the... Gunshot?
From the gunshot. The bullet had gone through his shoulder, barely missed a major artery. It passed within centimeters of her lung and exited her spine, but did not sever the spinal cord. Just a total, total miracle. In Cookstown, her sister Margaret took care of her. Maud became a sensation. She was asked to speak at churches and luncheons. She was also nominated for the Inspirational Woman of the Year Award. for 2015 by the Belfast Telegraph. She went to the award ceremony in Belfast with friends and was surprised when her name was called as the winner. She was asked to be on a popular radio program in Northern Ireland where she was challenged by the host. She thought it was going to be, you know, kind, but instead he's like, if your God is such a wonderful God, then why does he allow such things to happen to you? Maud responded by sharing about Daniel in the lion's den and that God used these circumstances to show that he is greater than lions, greater than bandits, and greater than evil.
Mm.
Then Maud was summoned, get this is exciting, to Buckingham Palace, where she received the OBE, the most excellent order of the British Empire. And guess who she received it from? Prince William.
Oh, my goodness.
Is that like the best? So as he's offering it to her, he said, so you've been all over Africa. She said, no, just the center of Africa. Oh, you're the lady that was shot. Yes, that's right. How are you now? Is the wound healing? Yes, thankfully it is. I'm feeling much stronger. Maud received her award, reversed the required number of steps, curtsied, and walked off the stage. In September of 2015, she met Prince Edward and his wife Sophie when they visited Hillsborough Castle in Ireland. That was also the year that Helen Rosevere turned 90. When she met Prince Edward and his wife Sophie, she introduced herself, and they said, "Oh, you're the woman that was shot." That must have been a topic of conversation at the palace.
Well, it is pretty memorable.
Exactly. Now, remember, she's been shot in 2015. Maud returned to Melita with medical supplies, and to defend an innocent man accused of participation in her attack. They were just looking for anybody. This man, unjustly arrested, had been through the Bible training with Maud and used his time in prison to lead many of the prisoners there to Jesus and then to disciple them.
Mm.
Maud returned to Ireland in January of 2016, and she did not officially retire until January of 2017, but not before flying to Melita one last time in October with even more medical supplies. Mm. And while she was there, now she's in her late 70s now, right?
Yeah.
While she was there, she worked long hours overseeing the practical work for the hospital and the Bible school. I mean, she's still working late into her 70s in these primitive conditions. For the first time ever, the DRC, the Democratic Republic Congo, so again, name change, presented Maud with the Medal de Mérite Civique, which no expatriate had ever received before.
Wow.
So she had to travel to Kindu to receive it. However, she still had work to do with Melita. So she waited until the last moment to leave, and she only had hours to attend the ceremony and receive the reward before flying back to Ireland. So the governor was late, so a lower official conducted the ceremony. But just as he was finishing, and remember, she's got to catch a plane and go to Melita and then go back to fly
she
back
has things to do
to Nambongo, yeah, fly to Ireland. The governor arrived and insisted on doing the whole ceremony himself once more. They're like, okay, let's do it all over again. Maud went back to Ireland, and on October 27th, 2023, at the age of 84, Maud went to another award ceremony. It was greater. It was attended by literally tens and tens of thousands.
Greater than getting an award at Buckingham Palace.
It was the angelic host of heaven.
Oh, that's lovely.
You just think about when she went to that award ceremony. I mean, don't you know, like, so many of the people that she administered.
That's so lovely.
In Melita, they were all there, all
yes,
cheering her. Helen Rosevere was there, her dear friend.
Yes.
You just think about all those people,
Her parents were there.
Her sister Irene was there. And you think about, somebody wrote a book, The People I Want to Meet in Heaven. And, so many of these women that we talk about on this podcast, I'm thinking, I want to meet Maud Kills.
Absolutely.
She's just one of the ones, and Dr. Helen Rosevere, mm-hmm, just these people. And I'm just so excited to see the heavenly throngs.
Yes.
And what will happen. Mary, I want to thank you for being here and hosting these episodes. It's so great to not have to just talk to myself.
Well, this was a fascinating story. So I thank you for sharing it with me and with your listeners. I am really amazed at how, I guess what strikes me is over and over again, she had these setbacks, but she appears to not really treat them as setbacks. It's just, this is what the Lord's doing, and therefore, this is what I'm doing now. Maybe
exactly.
I'm preparing, or maybe I'm getting ready, but I am still serving the Lord where I'm at.
And her resiliency.
Yes.
And one thing that also got to me, too, as I was doing this, is how she was willing to lose her comfort. And I think in our Western culture, we're like, don't you take one comfort away from me. We think that's criminal, you know, sacrifice or not having comfort. And we've got, you know, all these debates in the church. Is it right for people to deny or to call sin sin when, you know, they feel like this is such a need? And you think, she did. For the sake of the gospel.
She was willing to count that cost.
Exactly. Again, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not-so-well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.